If you're looking for a new way to support the podcast, check out W.GG, an energy supplement company trying to make a difference. There, you can use code SIDEMISSION for 10% off your order. Thank you to W for sponsoring this episode, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome in to the newest episode of Side Mission. Like always, I'm your host, Rusty Ellis, joined by the boys, Kyle Lynch and Matt Beck. And today we are talking about Ninja Gaiden 4. Correct me if I'm wrong, was this each of our first Ninja Gaiden games? I know, Kyle, it was our first. Matt, was this your first Ninja Gaiden game?
Actually, no, I did play Ninja Gaiden Black back on the PlayStation 3.
I don't know what color has to do with it, but okay, sure. I'm kidding. I wanted to make a really terrible joke, and I will probably edit it out. No, I won't, because I'm lazy. Anyways, Ninja Gaiden 4, and I think we all have very positive feelings towards this game. I think this is a really, really damn good game. The combat is a lot of fun. There are certainly some things to be critical of. And Kyle, I know you mentioned you felt like even as you got to the end, as epic as it was, you had some very specific criticisms with the game as a whole. I think that all three of us really enjoyed our time. Kyle, the combat right from the jump feels like it's the star of the game. It feels like this is why you're here. This is why you want to play this game. This is very much a gameplay first kind of video game. And I think it succeeds with flying colors in that regard.
I think that this is the most fun action game that I've played all year. Maybe in recent years, you know, just pure action, nothing, you know, really RPG element about it. There was no open world. It's very linear. In terms of being a fun game, I have no complaints. I think that the gameplay was incredible. I really don't think I have any complaints about the gameplay itself. I think it was great. I do have some other complaints about other things outside of the gameplay, but this is a great action game, you guys.
I did want to ask both of you this, and I'm curious to hear both of your thoughts. How much of this game's gameplay and how fun it was, how much of it was because of the weapon variety? Because I felt like in games like this where you do get different weapons, I do feel like sometimes it's easy for like one or two to stand out and the rest kind of get forgotten. But I felt like, and Matt, you can go first. I very much felt like every new weapon I got, I felt like was even more fun to play with and use than the previous one. So much so that if you asked me to pick a favorite weapon, I don't know if I could pick one. Matt, how much of that fun factor in this game, how much of it was the weapon variety?
Oh, it contributed a lot to it. When you got your first new weapon and he switches over to it, it was like that weapon that's kind of like a drill. I loved it. I think what really sets apart each weapon is just the type of like the animation and the kills and just like the different types of like styles that go along with those weapons. The drill one, I can't think of the name of it, but that was one of my favorite ones to use.
It's like a rapier in its normal form and then it becomes a drill.
I loved it. I loved that the combat is so free flow. And as you make progress, that you unlock new different types of like abilities. Like I even went into the training room that you can do with Tyrant, and I wanted to master it all. Like, I mean, in the end, there's so much there, and I definitely didn't feel like I utilized a lot of it to its potential. But I just loved how, you know, much variety there was in the combat, not with just the weapons that you use, but the different abilities and effects, especially the slaughters. Like that was insane.
I do feel like that is something that I had a blast with the entire time, was just the combos you can pull off. And it feels very seamless. Like it doesn't feel like it is overly complex. I think a lot of games like this maybe fall into that trap of trying to do so much that they overcomplicate themselves unnecessarily. I don't feel like this game did that. It felt like every combo that I put together, no matter how many hits it was, no matter how many times I swapped weapons in the middle of the combat. No matter how many glory kills I got, how many enemies were on screen, I felt like it all felt so seamless. And I liked that, because to me, a game like this only works gameplay wise if the gameplay is smooth, if it flows well. If it's clunky, if it's rough, if it feels unfinished, that's where it could all fall apart. And I don't feel like that happened here. Kyle, I know we spent a lot of time, both of us, using the staff hammer combination. I felt like that was where the game stepped up a level in terms of weapon. I loved the rapier and I loved the swords that you start with at the beginning. But the staff hammer combo, that was where I felt like, okay, this is opening up a little bit.
That was what Wukong should have been. The staff hammer combo was so much fun. I loved how, you know, not only was it, I think, one of the fastest weapons you could use, but it would also smack multiple enemies. Whereas, like, with the sword and the rapier, you're going one-on-one. You pull out that staff, you can start clearing a whole horde of enemies because, you know, it's kind of, it doesn't really have AoE attacks, but the swing is wide enough. I think that the last weapon you get, the bombs and the, I can't remember what those, arms. Yeah, like those mechanical arms, those were really cool. You get them really late in the game, though, so I just didn't really use them as much. I think that the swords, unfortunately, were probably my least used weapon. Probably just because, I mean, they're the base weapon, and as soon as I got the rapier, I used that the whole game until you get to the staff, and once you get to the staff, it's over. But
yeah, I think that another thing, and I wanted you to talk about this a little bit as well, Kyle, the seamless ability of switching between weapons, I thought that was great as well.
Yes. Oh, man. And the fluid animation, too, was beautiful to look at. But the way that, you know, you could just, and there were multiple times where in boss fights, I would just be swapping between, you know, different weapons just to pull off combos because I thought it looked really cool. That was just nothing but pure hype moments in Aura, like most of this game.
Yeah, I do think this game does fall into the category of Aura, the video game, which, I mean, as cringy as that might be for two guys or for three people over the age of 30 to say, I do feel like that is a lot of this game is just, it's Aura, it's cool, it's badass. Like, that's so much of all of it. I also felt, when talking about positives, the linear nature of this game absolutely was a great decision. In a time where it feels like so many games are trying to go open world, I feel like having a few linear games is still important because you don't need a game to be 60, 70 hours for it to be a high quality game. There are games that are considered all-time classics that are that long, but to have a game that you can beat in 15 to 20 hours and it be linear and it pose a little bit of a challenge if you want to play on higher difficulties, I do think that the linear nature of the game was a massive positive as well. And Matt, a lot of that has helped. The level design is really good across the board. There are some moments where it does feel like, I feel like I've just kind of gone down this kind of path a couple of times in this level. But in terms of every level feeling different from the previous one, I do feel like this game nailed level design and the linear nature of the game helps that.
Yeah, absolutely. What I did really like is if you were willing to explore, I mean, the game pretty much just has you going on in a straight path, but there are, you know, levels of the in the areas in those levels that are a little bit more opened up. But if you're willing to explore, especially because as you speak with Umi, you can unlock these challenges that are like, you know, laid out throughout the throughout each level. Like I said, if you're willing to do exploring, like, I don't know if you guys have tried the Purgatory Gates. Like,
they're hard. Great. They're very hard.
They are very hard, absolutely. But I do like that there is a bit of a challenge there. And it's a great way to unlock the stuff that you need to unlock the different effects of your weapons. And then, you know, different types of challenges where defeat these enemies. They have like these little small mini bosses that are really fun to challenge. Like each level does have like its own, you know, special, you know, challenges scattered throughout that are really fun to do. But there's a lot of levels to me that like stick out, especially it's like the one where you're like in the sewers. I thought that like the where you're kind of just surfing was kind of fun. What is it? There's like the dance rooms or whatever with the enemies. The with the music, the flashlights. I thought, like I said, each level like is basically you have like the woods, you have like the mountains, you have, like I said, in the sewers. Like there's a lot of variety. And I also really liked this version of Tokyo that we got where it's just gloomy and rainy. But it's just, it's very stylistic and futuristic, and I really enjoyed what they did. Like none of the levels actually like bored me.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think that up until maybe the last level, I don't think that I was maybe like kind of just feeling stale. Like the last level goes on for a little too long, in my opinion. But even then, I thought that it was designed well. I thought that, again, the verticality of the game, when you add in like the grappling hook, all the different combos you can pull, it feels like it all works well in tandem. It feels like it all works well together. And that's the most important thing in this game. Now, there is also a story. And while this is not why anyone plays a Ninja Gaiden game, it's pretty good. It's a solid enough story to get the job done. Obviously, it's a continuation of the Ninja Gaiden series. So if you have not played any of the previous entries like me or Kyle, you are going to be lost. But I do think, Kyle, despite a relatively slow buildup, about halfway through the game, it picks up, and like that wait for those first 10 chapters, that wait really pays off in regards to the story.
Yes, it definitely did. In my opinion, I think that as a newcomer, not really knowing a lot of what's going on or really recognizing many of the older characters that if you had played the first three games, it very clearly pays homage to. I thought that for what I could understand, the story really didn't do much for the first 10 chapters. It was, we're going to purify the Dark Dragon. And that's all they tell you for about half the game. I mean, until that point, I was really like, I don't know. I was kind of bored of the story. I just didn't really care. And then a big moment happens, and it just really sets things into gear. Like right around chapter 10, 11. The rest of the game through, I thought the story was fantastic. Even not knowing, you know, a lot of what's going on, I really enjoyed it, and I don't think you really need to know a lot of what's going on to really understand, I think, the premise of this story. I bet there's a lot of context for what's going on, a lot of context around characters that would really help, but I didn't feel like I couldn't grasp the concept of what we're doing in this game, which I also do appreciate. My fault for coming in on the game that's titled 4. But, you know, they did at least try to make it newcomer-friendly story-wise, I feel like. So.
No, I do agree. I think that's a big positive. I think if you can enter a franchise at a later point that is not the first or second game in the series, and you can at least understand what's going on at the base level, I think that's a good thing. And again, I do think the story is really good. And in a Ninja Gaiden game, the story doesn't have to be amazing in order for the game to be considered good. The story here does its job, and that's the simplest way to say it. It does its job. It tells a very, very straightforward story. Like, you know kind of what you need to do. There are a couple twists and turns as you go throughout the story, especially as you get over the last like 5 or 6 chapters. There are a lot of twists and turns that it takes. But I feel like they all pay off really well. I don't want to spoil any of them here. If you're thinking about playing the game, I do think it's worth playing through to see what happens. So I would absolutely suggest it, especially considering the combat is as fun as it is. Now, it's not a game without fault. And there is one really big glaring elephant in the room specifically with this game. And that is that, unfortunately, Yakumo is a terrible protagonist. And I don't think that he's poorly written. I don't think that that's the problem. I think the problem is just what they were going for in general. I think he's just the simplest way to say it is he just feels like a big edgelord. He just feels like he's trying to be edgy, just trying to be dark and gloomy and mysterious. Like there is a line I don't love going to this extent to cuss on the podcast, but there's a line that someone says about him like, "Oh, would you like that? Would you like some help with this?" And he just looks at this character and goes, "Fuck off." And it's like, okay, guy, like, okay. Like, it's one of these things, if you're like that, and you're Ryu Hayabusa. because Ryu Hayabusa has earned that ability. He has earned that right. And it also doesn't help that, and this is a slight spoiler, so if you don't want the game spoiled for you, go ahead and click off here. 3, 2, 1. There is a point at a later chapter where you spend about 4 chapters playing as Ryu. And when you play as Ryu, a character who is, I'm sorry, much cooler, he's much better voice acted in my opinion, and in my, I don't think it's a hot take to say I think that his character is designed in a way that isn't as edgy as Yakumo is, that really shows the contrast between the two characters. And if that's what they're going for, cool. I just don't know that that worked here. I don't know what you guys thought of that, or I know what Kyle thought about it. Matt, I don't really know what you thought about Yakumo as a protagonist, but I'm curious to hear what your thoughts were.
No, I mean, I'll say this. So Ninja Gaiden 4, this is a sequel to a game that came out a while back. So I didn't think that they were going to go into it with us just getting to play as Ryu. Like, if you notice this kind of trend in sequels to games like that, they are, you know, trying to introduce these new protagonists, but as also carry, you know, previous protagonists like in this game with Ryu. Now, design-wise, I think he's cool. I do like his combat style where he uses his blood attacks. Like, I think that that's cool. But honestly, I mean, at some point, I was just like, bro, I just want to play as Ryu. This, you know, that's why I play Ninja Gaiden, so I could play as Ryu Hayabusa, like one of the coolest ninjas in video games. And that moment came where I got to control him, and I was like, this is what I wanted. He plays so much better. I like his combat styles a lot better. Just, you know, Yakumo, like I said, he's not bad, but it's just I definitely feel like he could have done with a lot more development. Because when you start off with him, you know, he's just so moody. He's just so gloom and doom and gloom and all of that. And I mean, it didn't really stand out for him. Like his performance didn't stand out to me. Whereas, you know, Ryu Hayabusa doesn't even get nearly as much screen time as him. But when I look back at Ninja Gaiden 4, all I can think about is how much I liked playing as Ryu.
I'll say it. I think Yakumo is a bad character. I respect the optimistic outlook on it. I respect and appreciate it. I don't think Yakumo is a good character. Go ahead, Kyle.
I liked Yakumo's design a little. I do think Ryu's being more toned down and a little less flashy was the choice. Was a better choice. Yakumo's gameplay, his combat, so good, dude. But his writing, I think, was terrible. I think it was some of the worst protagonist writing I have ever seen, because he also hardly speaks. There are a lot of silent video game characters, or video game characters that don't say a lot in their games. Wink. This should not be one of them. I don't think Yakumo works that way, because there are parts where it's like, spoiler alert again, when, what's her name? I just forgot it. When she dies. When Sayori dies,
yeah.
They try to make it this big emotional moment between the two of them, and it's like, that's cool if I didn't just watch him say fuck off to someone with no other dialogue. I really do like his, you know, his combat style. I liked his design for what it was. It could be toned down. But that writing was just inexcusable, in my opinion. I'm really sorry. And the voice acting wasn't great. It just wasn't.
No, I think that's fair, too. I don't think the voice acting on Yakumo's part, it's not phoned in bad. Like, it's not like, oh, the actor, the VA just gave up in the booth. It's not that. Like, I can tell that the VA is trying. And that's why I said I don't think it's the writing. I don't know. I think it's a mix of everything. I just think it's the overall design of the character. I just don't think that they had a very good plan with this character in general. And I think a lot of that could be the writing. Could also just be that they made him not speak that much to begin with. And again, when you have these more emotional beats that you need to hit, those beats have to feel, I don't want to say earned, but they kind of have to feel a little bit like that. They have to feel like, okay, we've built to this. It just kind of feels like that emotional high, we just kind of get there randomly. We don't really build to that at any point. Like, there's a little section after the big shark fight, which I thought was one of the coolest fights in the game. There's a section there where Sayori, you know, tells him like, hey, you're going to have some help along the way. You're not going to be able to do this completely by yourself. And there's very clearly a look in his eyes, which I do think the animation team did a great job with. I think that just the expressions in this game, I think, are really well done, because you can see he doesn't say anything, but you can see kind of him beginning to understand that he's going to have some help to get this done, to purify the Dark Dragon. He's going to have some help. But the problem is the emotional weight of that scene with him and Sayori. Outside of that one moment I just mentioned, there's not really much of a build to it. It just kind of happens. And I have always said, as somebody who loves writing and loves creating characters and all that, you have to be able to build to something like that. It can't just happen out of nowhere at the snap of a finger. It's not going to work if it happens that way. So for me, I'm with you, Kyle, and I think, Matt, you agree. That moment just doesn't work as well as I think they were hoping it would. Kyle, you mentioned having some other criticisms. What else stuck out in this game that you felt like could have been improved upon?
Okay, so this is my big controversial take. And I don't think it's that bad, but I loved playing as Ryu. However, I think that the level design, running back through the same chapters that I just played as Yakumo, was one of the worst decisions they made. I was so excited to play as Ryu, and I was like, oh man, dude, and it was like, oh, you know, a few years ago, I was like, oh, we're going to be fighting some enemies and bosses that, you know, I didn't even know existed, where he's going to have his own section. No.
Yeah.
He had the same bosses Yakumo had, and I did not like how you literally kill Achilles, right? And then it just throws you into a boss fight with him all over again. And then it's like, now work your way backwards through all the bosses you just fought. I hated that. I really did. And I was I loved playing as Ryu. That was one of the best parts of the game. And they soiled it with replaying everything I just did. It's such a mixed bag, because it's like, damn, the game really improves around that same time. The level design was just miserable, and the run back.
I have a theory as to why that happened. I have a theory as to why that part of the game exists. I've thought about this a lot. I've thought about this an unreasonable amount. Do you, either of you think there was a chance that they realized at that point in the story that maybe, just maybe, a lot of people would feel like we do about Yakumo, and then maybe they threw that in there just as like a way to maybe kind of soften that blow a little bit? Because I very much feel like that was Phantom Pain levels of lazy. And for anyone who doesn't understand that reference, go look up what like the last half of Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain. Go look up like what like the last part of that game is like, and you'll understand what I'm saying. Like, Kyle, one of these, it's not even a level. You just walk straight into the boss. Like, you just walk straight into the boss. And it's like, at least the others had some kind of buildup. At least the others, there was a little bit of a level that led you to the boss. This one, there's a staircase and you're at the boss.
Yep.
Go ahead, Matt.
The thing is, for me, when it came to that moment, it almost just felt like at some point, because the story is so minimalistic, it just feels like the developers just didn't know how to extend the time of the game. Like, they didn't want the game to be too short, and obviously they wanted us to have the opportunity to play as Ryu, so it's just like, you know what, let's just repeat everything that the player did in the beginning, the first couple chapters of the game, so we can make the game longer, and then we can get our big final boss fight conclusion, and then bam, we got our game. Like, that's just what it felt like.
Which sucks, because like the final boss is epic. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. The final boss of this game is epic. It's one of the most memorable boss fights I think we've seen in the last 2 years of gaming. 2-3 years. Like, it is that good. Like, it is an excellent boss fight. I could have even excused fighting these bosses again if maybe they had been like, okay, these bosses are a few years younger, but they're not maybe as weak as when you first see them. So they have some more moves. They have maybe a second phase that's really cool. Yeah. Like I would have been okay with that. I would have been like, or I wouldn't have been as hard on that. But the fact that it really is just the same four bosses that you've already fought, and Achilles is really not that much different either, so make it five. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's fun to play as Ryu, but it does feel very much like they got to Sayori's death, and they were like, uh-oh, this is where the game wraps up, and we don't really have an easy way to transition to the end. Like, it feels like that, and the problem is that Team Ninja has done a lot of really good work. I mean, specifically, the Neo series is very, very, very highly regarded. A lot of people love the Neo series. I know I'm excited for the next, for Neo 3 to come out. I'm excited for that. But it does feel like they got to a certain point and they kind of realized, uh-oh, we don't really know how to wrap this up. So we need to find some way to transition here. And I do think that there was maybe a thought along the way of, are people going to like Yakumo? Are people going to love him like they do Ryu? The answer is no, obviously, because people love Ryu Hayabusa. I mean, you think of ninjas in gaming, you go and ask 100 random gamers to name a ninja in gaming, that is probably who they're going to name. That's probably who a very vast majority of them are going to name. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It does very much feel like they just didn't have much of a plan. And that's unfortunate because, again, this is a game that if you asked me to score it out of 10, I'd give it an 8. But if they had found a way to transition that a little bit better and had found a way to make those sections a little bit more diverse and those boss fights a little more diverse than the first time you did them, I feel like this is a game that could be a 9. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to go out on a limb and say something relatively spicy. If they had done that, this is a game that could have firmly been in the Game of the Year conversation. Very firmly could have been there. But it's not. Obviously, it's not because the nominations have since come out, but it's not because of those few things. Like, I'm not saying it would win Game of the Year. Not at all. I mean, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now on what's today? What is the date today? Today is Thursday, November 20th. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. We already know who's winning Game of the Year. We already know who's winning. Expedition 33 is going to win, and it's the most obvious win since Baldur's Gate 3. Let's just call it what it is. But this is a game that could have been there. And I hate to think that even a game that's an 8, there does feel like there was a little bit of meat left on the bone. So I'll let you guys give some closing thoughts now in terms of what you thought of the game, how you'd score the game. Kyle, you can go first. Matt, you can just go after him. But I do think that as a whole, this is a game I really grew to love. But I do hope there are some significant improvements when it's time for the next Ninja Gaiden game.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this game. As a newcomer to the series, I recommend it. You don't have to know what's going on, but I will say, if this gives you any range of how much I enjoyed this game, I wishlisted Ninja Gaiden 2 Black, the remake that they did earlier this year, and the next time that goes on sale, I'm going to buy that and play through it, because
absolutely,
I can't believe I missed out on these games. I thought that I knew they were action games. I guess I just thought they weren't as easy to get into. And granted, this one is a little bit easier to get into than the previous series due to the accessibility options. However, I think I should go back and play these games because I'll probably really enjoy them. And I hope I really enjoy Ninja Gaiden 2 Black. Rusty and I will probably play that next time it goes out on sale. But I enjoyed this game enough that I want to check out other games in the series.
Matt, what about you?
Yeah, I'm actually right there. Replaying this game brought me back to like why I loved going as far back as when Ninja Gaiden 3 on PlayStation 3 came out, because I didn't play it on the 360 because that's what it originally came out on. But the fact that, you know, the majority of these games are now available on Game Pass, I had the opportunity to go back, and with a little bit of slowdown time coming up, I'm going to re-download those games, give them a try, and then catch myself up on the story. But yeah, like this game just revitalized like my love for this type of genre. These amazing action and hack and slash games that have fantastic combat.
Boy, what you mean slowdown? We just had the real Game of the Year come out in Kirby Air Riders. What do you mean slowdown? Like, Come on now. This ninja game came out just to get bodied by Kirby Air Riders, bro. Like, come on now. But I do concur with both of you that this is a game that, in terms of gameplay first video games, I do think that this year it is up there with some of the ones that we've loved that have been similar. I think Doom the Dark Ages, despite it not being what as good as Doom Eternal, I think in terms of a gameplay first video game, it was still really damn good. Obviously, Matt, me and you really loved Monster Hunter as well. That is very much gameplay first over the story. I think this game holds its own in that regard. In terms of games that you play first for the gameplay and second for the story and everything else, I think it's a really good game. And again, I stand by my 8 out of 10. I think it's a really good game. And I do think that when we do our list at the end of the year, I think Ninja Gaiden 4 is probably going to be on that list. And I think in a year like this, that says a lot, because we've had a lot of really damn good games come out. So that is going to do it for this episode of Side Mission. You can follow us on Twitter at Side Mission Pod. You can follow us on Facebook as well at Side Mission Podcast. For the boys, for Kyle, for Matt, I'm Rusty. Thanks for listening.